Good morning. There we go. Good morning to all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning, and it's good to see all these beautiful smiling faces in our midst. The word has already been prayed for, so we're just gonna jump right in. Most of you who know me know that I'm an introvert by nature. I don't talk too much. God has really been working on me, as you can tell. I'd much rather sit and listen than to speak. I always tell people there's a reason God gave us two ears and only one mouth. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. So most times will lead me to a confession I have to make this morning. Most times when I find myself on the schedule to speak, I really have no clue what I'm going to say until just a few days, usually not Sunday morning. That's happened before too, when what I thought I was going to say has changed. And most people who've been preaching for a while have experienced that. You prepared and had everything, and God says, well, no, that's not it. Go say this. But most of the time I have nothing, no clue what I'm going to say until at least that week. Well, very rarely do I have an idea of a topic in advance of getting Brenda's text on Wednesday morning. And then when the text comes, I say, oh, now the hour of reckoning has come. So such was the case this past Wednesday. I had a pretty good idea of what I was going to say, because 3-4 weeks ago, God just put a song in my heart, a song that we used to sing back in Africa from the passage that we're going to look at this morning. And as I was meditating on it, I said, well, I think there's a message in this for God's people. But that morning, I had no clue what I was going to call the topic. And so when Brenda sent the text, I just looked on my desk, and there was a devotional. Most of you know it. It's called A Word for Today. And so I just looked at the devotional. I said, well, the topic is A Word for Today. Well, however, later on I thought about it, but even though that's what I did, but that's no accident. Because every single time that I have an opportunity to proclaim the word of God, I look up to him and the Spirit for what he would have for his people for today. You know, in that sense, the word of God is like money. It needs to be there when it's needed, right? Even though it's still relevant tomorrow, but if you don't get it when you need it today, it's not as good when you get it tomorrow, right? So God always has a word for his people. And as children of God, we need to be sensitive to his Spirit, because his word is always relevant for a specific time and for a specific season. And I hope you will be blessed by his word today. Our passage today is Exodus chapter number 15, beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 11. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. There's another song in there somewhere. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. Verse 7, and in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, it consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desires shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Verse 10, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And that's verse 11, and that's where we'll end our reading this morning. This song of praise and adoration to Almighty God comes after a most trying time in the life and history of God's chosen people, the children of Israel. They had been living in a state of slavery for many, many generations in Egypt, but God had a plan to bring them out. God always has a plan. Amen? Say with me this morning, God has a plan. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I can tell you with confidence that God has a plan. He's not befuddled, he's not bewildered, he's not confused, he's not disturbed, he's not weak, he's not weary, he's not asleep, but he has a plan to bring you out from where you are to where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. And guess what else? Extra credit. God never needs plan B. Amen? God never needs plan B. As people, we like to plan, and because we're people and we tend to fail every now and then, we want to cover all the bases, so to speak. So what if this fails, then I'll try this. And what if this fails, then I try this. But guess what? Since God never fails, he never needs a plan B. He has a plan A, and it works 100% of the time. You can take that to the bank. God had chosen as part of his plan to bring his people out of this condition that he had been in and suffering and crying for so long. He had a plan to bring them out, and he chose a servant, Moses, to lead them out of this condition that they were in. Now, there's something about being in a condition that we're in, even if it's a bad condition. Some of us get so comfortable with that condition that we don't want to leave it. So even though they were in slavery, but sometimes they cried, and when things got better, they went right back to what they knew. I was just in a conversation with somebody, was it yesterday or day before yesterday, and I was telling them that even today, if you open the door of the prison and allow everyone to leave, not everyone will want to leave. Amen? Why is that? They've become comfortable with life in that condition. And that was the same situation with the children of Israel. They complained and they complained, and every time God intervened and things got a little better, they went right back and said, well, at least we're comfortable in this slavery. But God called and chose his servant Moses to bring them out of slavery into the land that he's promised them. Everyone in here under the sound of my voice probably knows the story in Exodus, so we won't go there and read it. But we know of the account, the biblical account of the events leading up to Pharaoh finally agreeing to allow God's people to go. Now, I'm using the term agreeing here pretty loosely, because by the time it got to the point that he agreed, I don't think he had too much of a choice in the matter. The picture that comes to my mind is like a chess game. Only God is playing both the white and the black pieces. He's playing both sides of the board. And Pharaoh only thinks he has control of one side. But God is just putting things into pieces for his purpose and for his glory to be made manifest. In any case, God orchestrated a series of events which we commonly know as the plagues. There were 10 of them. Pastor Jim has taught on those plagues and how specific each of the plagues were meant to target a specific god of the Egyptians. But the last one that finally put Pharaoh over the edge was a national tragedy for the Egyptians, where every firstborn of people and animals died while God's people were spared. Can you imagine? I mean, it boggles my imagination. I admit I don't have a very vivid imagination. I don't. But even the little that I have, I can't imagine what that would be like. But that's what it took for Pharaoh to finally call Moses in and say, you know what, this is it. You can take your people and go worship your God and go. Just leave us alone. Take everything you want and just leave us and go. And so Moses gathered the children of Israel and they began the journey out of Egypt and back to the promised land. However, Pharaoh wasn't done. He had second thoughts. And so he gathered his army and decided to pursue God's people. Now, have you ever thought you were caught between a rock and a hard place? At one point, the children of Israel came up with the Red Sea right before them, and right behind them was the armies of the Egyptians. That would be between a rock and a hard place. You can't go forward, you can't go backward. But God had a plan. God always has a plan. While God miraculously caused the children of Israel to walk across the Red Sea, and the Bible tells us it wasn't even wet and muddy. The scripture tells us on dry land. On dry land, they walked across. Pharaoh's entire army was swallowed up by the sea when they tried to pursue them over the sea. You see, sometimes there's a miracle that we see in someone else's life, and we we want to claim it for ourselves, but it wasn't meant for us. God's plan for me may be different from God's plan for you. We need to seek Him for ourselves. Seek Him for ourselves and find out what His plan and His will and His path is for us. It's much easier to follow the worn and beaten path. And sometimes that's good. But sometimes God has something different for us. So Pharaoh saw the children of Israel cross on dry land and said, "Oh, we can do it too." No. The scripture tells us that they perished in the sea. Now, what an occasion after such a momentous and miraculous event, what an occasion to break into songs of praise and adoration for our awesome God. The scripture passage says they broke into song. At least they remembered to praise God. Many of us forget that it was God who brought us through that situation. We praise people. We claim we were lucky or fortunate, or many other terms that we use. But we forget to give God the glory that is due His name. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. We fail to acknowledge. The scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Amen? So if it's good and it happened to you or to me, it comes from Him. And we need to get into a mindset of giving Him the praise, the thanks that is due His name. It doesn't have to be the parting of the Red Sea. It doesn't have to be anything earth-shattering. Just the fact that He woke us up this morning is enough to give Him praise. Amen? Just the fact that we're standing here, we can lift up our voices, we can clap, we can sing, we can dance, we can look at one another and smile, is enough to give Him praise. In everything, give thanks, the scripture says. Even when we gather here on a Sunday morning and enter our time of worship, many of us just stand and spectate like we at a concert. In fact, we participate more when we're at a concert than when we're here in church worshiping. Amen? Why is that? Don't tell me God hasn't done anything for you that's worth praising him for this morning. Somebody sent me something on Facebook one time, said, if you think your alarm clock woke you up this morning, take it to the cemetery and see if that will work. It wasn't your alarm clock. It was the goodness of God. We have a great and an anointed worship team. But guess what? They cannot worship for you and me. They can stand up here and create an atmosphere and try to usher us into the presence of God. But we got to worship him for ourselves. We got to lift up our voices. Some of us can't keep a tune. I admit I can't. But all he commands us to do is to make a joyful noise. And I can do that. All of us in here can make a joyful noise and praise him. The passage tells us that Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. Now it was a corporate gathering. But what were the words? I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become what? My salvation. So you see, even though it's a corporate gathering, but worship is an individual thing. I can't praise him for you. You can't praise him for me. Yes, you can thank him for something that happens to me. But as long as he's given us breath, the scripture says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. And all of us have breath in us this morning. So let's praise him. Let's remember to praise him. Worship is a personal act. Now let's zero in on the words from verse 11 of the passage we read. The King James Version renders that passage like this. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now, I had a fleeting thought of trying to sing it for you, but I won't. Should I? Okay, don't listen to the tune. Just listen to the words. I'll give it a try. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are so generous. That's why I love you all. And we used to sing that song. Now, the first phrase of that song or that passage is both a question and a declaration. It's a question. Who is Who is like our God? It's also a declaration of how awesome our God is, because we've searched far and wide. We've searched above and below. We've searched from the north to the south and from the east and to the west. And we have found no other God that has the equality to the awesome, all-powerful God that we serve. Amen. He said that he could find none greater than himself, so he would swear by himself. That's how big our God is. There is none that can compare to him. He spoke the universe into existence. He is the self-existing God. Ponder that for a moment. Just don't try to understand it or go try to prove it in the laboratory. You can't. And that's a problem a lot of us have. We think we can understand everything about God. No, we can't. The children of Israel had seen the manifestation of the power of God, as had the Egyptians. In fact, Pharaoh's magicians were able to replicate the first three of the plagues. They were able to turn the rod into a serpent and the water into blood. There are many gods, small g. There are some you can put in your pocket. There are some you can put on the shelf. There are some you can invoke in so many different ways. But there is only one creator. There is only one sustainer of life. There is only one that's all powerful. There is only one that's all knowing. There is only one that's everywhere at the same time. There is only one that's the beginning and the end. There is only one that's the first and the last. And guess what? He's everything in between also. A lot of times we focus on the beginning and the end, but he's also between the A and the Z. He's there. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's too big for our God. Nothing. At the same time, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's too small for our God. Sometimes we get this mindset, oh, God must be busy with important things. After all, there's nuclear weapons and all those things, and here am I with my little decision that I need to make. Should I even bother him? Look, anything that concerns you concerns God. Amen? Anything that concerns you concerns God. He's big enough for all the big things and all the little things at the same time. Amen. Amen. He doesn't put us on a schedule and say, well, look, I only deal with big things from 9 a.m. to noon and keep the little things for the night shift. He has no shifts. He doesn't sleep or slumber, the scripture tells us. He's always concerned and working on our behalf. He's always faithful, even when we're not. Sometimes we just need to stand still and stand in awe of his greatness. You know, sometimes the songwriters, like I said, I don't sing, but I like to listen to worship music, and God has gifted some people who try to put it into words, the majesty of God and the greatness. And we're singing the song this morning, what a beautiful name, what a powerful name, what a wonderful name. He's all that and more. Sometimes there's no words. He's so awesome, you just burst into tears. Because that's the kind of God we serve. So who is like unto thee? There is none. He is Lord of lords. He is God of gods. He's King of kings. There is none greater than our God. So let's stop searching. Let's stop searching. We already know the God that we serve. When we were dead in sin, he made us alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if he does nothing else, as long as we live, that's enough to sing praises to him till we go to our graves. And then eternally sing praises to him in his presence in heaven. Amen. So if you can't worship here, we're just preparing. This is just it's not even a dress rehearsal yet. It's just the early stages of rehearsal, so we better get with the program. Because that's all we're going to be doing when we enter his presence. We're going to be joining the angels and just worshiping. Because our lives will be wrapped up in him. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. But we come to the next passage, the next part of that passage, verse 11 of Exodus 15. Glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. God lives and dwells in ultimate holiness. And since we are creatures that sin, no, sin is a bad word nowadays, even in the church. Fortunately, in this church, we still talk about sin because the Bible talks about sin. And when you enter these doors, you will hear what the Word of God says, right? Since we are sinful men saved by grace, the only path that we have to approach a holy God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says Jesus became sin, even though he knew no sin, so that we might be made righteous. So because of that righteousness, we can approach God's presence. But what did he tell Moses? He told Moses that no one can see him, because you just can't. But we can feel his presence through his Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get into an atmosphere of worship and you don't want it to end. But life gets in the way. We got schedules to meet. We got work to do. So you can't, you know, you can't stay 10 hours and worship. As beautiful as that will be. What we need to do is yearn for a glimpse of his glory. We need to yearn for more of his presence. There's a song that we sing, your presence is heaven to me. Because that's where he dwells. Where his presence is where I want to be. In his presence there is fullness of joy. All of our issues and problems and concerns and befuddlements pale and become nothing when we enter into his presence. Because then our perspective changes. And we see things in a different light, because then his light is shining on it. And all those things that we thought were big suddenly become small. It's interesting how small the Cascade Mountains look when you're flying over them in an airplane. Now they look pretty intimidating when you're driving over the pass, but when you have the perspective of being 35,000 feet in the air, suddenly they don't look so big anymore. So when we look at things from God's glorious perspective, then our problems, our issues, our concerns pale in comparison to his glorious holiness. He's glorious in holiness, and that's where he dwells. The passage tells us that he's also fearful in praises. Fearful in praises. You see, sometimes all we gotta do is just praise him. Sometimes we don't need to fall down and cry and roll and wail and do all this other stuff. Sometimes all we need to do is just praise him. And it may look foolish to people around us. Why are you so joyful when you got no money in the bank? Why are you still singing praises when you seem to be suffering? Everything's falling down around you and you're still praising this God? Yes, sir. Because you don't know what I know. You don't see him like I see him. You don't know where he took me from, and I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. So I got a reason to praise him this morning. I got a reason to shout glory to his name. Because he's a good, good God. And I'm loved by him. The scripture says in Acts that Paul and Silas were in the prison. And even in the prison, they were singing praise and thanksgiving to God. And what happened as they were singing? Suddenly, the doors were opened. And everyone was afraid, including the jailer, because it could mean death for him if all the prisoners escaped. Sometimes all we need to do to get out of the prison of our despair and despondency is to lift up our voices and sing praise and thanksgiving to our awesome God. Thessalonians tells us that in everything, give thanks. We like to edit it. I give thanks when things are going good. But if you realize and you have it in the back of your head and in the front of your head and everywhere else in your head that God always has a plan, then you know that as long as you're part of his plan, that you can always thank him, no matter what. No matter if it's sickness, you can thank him. No matter if you're broke, you can thank him. You see, the flesh can't do it. It's the spirit part of us. We have to allow the spirit in us to triumph over the desires of our flesh. The flesh wants to complain. The flesh wants to do self-help. Go ask Oprah. The flesh wants to figure out our own way out. When the spirit is telling us, just rest. Just wait and see the salvation of the Lord. See, sometimes, and which is a good thing, we don't get desperate enough so that when we get out of that situation, we will know that it was through no effort of ours. It was not through our ingenuity. It was not through anything else but God. It had to be God. There was no other way for the children of Israel with the sea in front of them and the armies behind them, except God. We need to give him praise. Just ask the people of Jericho. They must have laughed when they saw God's people looking like they were aimlessly and foolishly marching around the walls 7 days and singing songs of praise, blowing the instruments and the trumpets. And then on the seventh day, they march around seven times. The scripture doesn't say anybody took any sledgehammers. They didn't fire a shot. They just sang praises to God. And guess what happened? The walls came tumbling down. The impenetrable walls were penetrated by the praises to our God. He's fearful in praises. Let's get into a praise mindset. Let's praise him in the morning. Let's praise him at noonday. Let's praise him in the evening. Let's lift up our voices. Let's praise him with song. Let's praise him with our lips. Let's clap our hands and dance and show him the honor that is due his name. And then doing wonders, doing wonders. I had a pastor that said God has never changed his address, because the scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's never a problem with him. When there's a problem in our relationship with him, the problem is always us, including me. He's still performing miracles in the lives of his people, even today. Big and small. He's still a wonder-working God. Let's not think that the accounts in the scripture were for a different generation. Oh, that stuff, all those stories. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, whether you believe it or not, does not matter. You might not believe that there's electricity going through those wires because you can't see it, but I guarantee you if you took a fork and stuck it in there, you will become a believer. God is still in the wonder-working business. He has not gotten tired. He has not gotten smaller. He has not grown weak. He has not grown weary. He is still on the throne. The problem is we got to put him on the throne of our lives. Ask the worship team to come up. We have to put him on the throne of our lives. He's such a gentleman that he will not force himself on us. Yes, he'll be right by our side, gently nudging us, sometimes giving us a little crack on the head if we're not getting the message. Nothing too bad that would knock us out, hopefully. But just to remind us that he loves us so much, that he cares for us so much, that it pains him when he sees us struggling with stuff that he's already provided a way out of. It pains him. I've already paid for that. Why are they trying to use a cliche, reinvent the wheel? We need to give him the place that he deserves in each and every one of our lives. And that, again, is an individual decision and an individual choice that each one of us has to make for himself or herself. May that be our choice this morning. May we choose this morning to put God in control. There's nothing more foolish than saying that God is my co-pilot, as some people have on their bumper stickers. God doesn't want to be a co-pilot. In fact, he will not be a co-pilot. He's either the pilot or he's just there. Let's yield to him this morning and allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that in you victory is assured. And Lord, we just commit everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. In every situation that we're faced with this morning, may we be reminded without the shadow of a doubt that you have a plan. That your thoughts towards us are thoughts to prosper us. And thoughts of good towards us. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we will rest in you. And we will rest in your provision for a way out of our situation, of our issue. I pray for healing in our bodies this morning, Lord. Complete healing in Jesus' name. I pray for our family members that may not be walking with you today, Lord. Oh, I know you have a plan to bring them from darkness to light. And we claim them for your kingdom this morning in Jesus' name. Oh, I pray for relationships that may be strained, even broken this morning. Oh, you are a master at putting broken pieces back together, Lord, and making them new again. We pray for healing in our relationships this morning. in Jesus' name. We pray for our church body. Lord, that we will have oneness of purpose to build your kingdom here on earth, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for strength as we plow through, knowing that you are in control, Lord. May we yield our plans to your plans this morning. Our desires to your desires this morning. For your plans are always better than our plans. And your desires for us infinitely better than what anything we could desire or wish for ourselves, Lord. So I pray we will get out of our own way and allow you to take charge. Allow you to take control of our lives this morning. And we give you all the glory and all the praise, for you are worthy to be praised. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.